This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, August 31st, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Wage for herders gets scrutiny. Vilsack defends new WOTUS rule. Dems cry wolf over sheep herder policy. Los Angeles lawmakers allied with labor interests raised alarms yesterday over a provision in a budget trailer bill relating to pay for goat and sheep herders. The backstory, until about 20 years ago, sheep herders had no minimum wage. So the state stepped in and set an alternative monthly minimum wage specific to the workers that has steadily risen and today pencils out at about $3.79 an hour. But an administrative decision last year ruled that the alternative wage did not apply to goat herders. At the full $15.50 hourly wage for the many hours herders live on site, they would earn $180,000 a year, that according to an official. The Newsom administration stepped in to insert an exemption for goat herders in a similar last-minute bill last year and tasked agencies with studying the issue. This year, the administration is seeking to extend that provision. The reaction? Well, Senator Maria Elena DeRosa called the low wage unfair to the workers and said that in good conscience, she would not support the bill. Senator Lola Smallwood Cuevas decried the high price of eggs and wondered how immigrant Peruvian goat herders could afford them. Republican Senator Shannon Grove of Bakersfield took the opportunity to note the price of eggs reflects the cost of implementing the state's Prop 12 animal welfare law, which now extend to swine. You think we have a problem with eggs, she said. You should wait to see what happens with pork in the next 3 to 6 months. It's going to be atrocious. USDA scientists say citrus greening remedy may be in sight. Scientists with USDA's Agriculture Research Service say they believe they found a way to make citrus trees impenetrable to the citrus greening disease that has devastated groves in Florida and spread to other states. The remedy, ARS says in a new report, lies in scientists' new ability to augment the tree's natural resistance to citrus greening, known as HLB. They say they can now do that by cloning DNA from plants that have a natural resistance to the disease and then incorporating that into citrus trees. I see HLB fighting technology being deployed in the next several years, said James Thompson, a scientist at ARS Crop Improvement and Genetics Research Unit in California. There are already a series of genes that can detect and fight HLB. The biggest problem is now how to distribute the solution. This project has made strides in identifying genes from other plants that activate dispense responses in the presence of HLB. Vilsack announces renewable energy projects fresh off the heels of nearly $266 million in renewable energy announcement from the USDA's Rural Energy for America program. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is urging a hands-off approach by those outside the department looking to tweak the agency's funding pools. Vilsack announced the more than 1,300 REAP projects Wednesday at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois, where he also argued the $2 billion in program funding was one of several Inflation Reduction Act efforts that should be left as Congress designated. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says the Environmental Protection Agency's work to redefine what constitutes a water of the U.S. should make the regulation easier to understand in farm country, an opinion that runs contrary to the opinion of many agriculture groups. Vilsack said the latest rule, rolled out on Tuesday, gives producers the predictability and stability they have been seeking from WOTUS regulations, and that the agency has, quote, responded to some of the concerns that were most top of mind by farmers. But American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall, who chatted with Vilsack shortly after the secretary finished speaking to reporters at the Farm Progress Show, said just the opposite, arguing the new rule still has, quote, broad language and gives the EPA the latitude to claim a lot of land. Asked by a reporter if Congress should act to address the definition after a lack of ag industry support for the EPA's latest rulemaking, Duvall said the next step may be in that direction. Legislative action would be helpful, but we have a tremendous ruling from the Supreme Court. They ignored a lot of what came out of that, Duvall said. Secretary Vilsack also says the Department of Agriculture plans to roll out more domestic fertilizer production funding in the near term. At Farm Progress yesterday, Vilsack said USDA has a significant number of new projects to announce soon to go along with the 21 announced earlier this year. The effort, dubbed the Fertilizer Production Expansion Program, was announced last year as the industry grappled with shortages due in part to the loss of Ukrainian and Russian supplies. Vilsack also used his comments to reporters to press for maintaining the congressional intent of Inflation Reduction Act funding. USDA still needs to invest much of the money allocated in the law for conservation, rural electric cooperatives, and more, which Vilsack warned could be threatened if the funding is reallocated. The secretary said, quote, there's still a significant and a number and amount of opportunity over the course of the next 2 or 3 years of just IRA. The challenge is making sure that nobody decides to redirect those resources away from the use that they were intended under IRA, because that is what's going to continue to support climate smart agriculture. Hope for an ombudsman and FDA's Human Foods Program. The Food and Drug Administration Chief Ombudsman Laurie Linkle has been advocating for ombudsman and FDA Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition for over 20 years. FDA's Office of the Ombudsman handles dispute resolution of complaints and settles disagreement between companies of individuals and FDA offices. While speaking on an Alliance for Stronger FDA webinar, Linkle says she's excited about the creation of the Human Foods Program under FDA's proposed reorganization efforts, and she's hopeful an ombudsman will be established within that new division. She says stakeholders should encourage the newly named Deputy Commissioner, Jim Jones, to establish an ombudsman under the purview. American Frozen Food Institute President and CEO Allison Boder, who co-moderated the webinar, said there's an opportunity with the establishment of the Human Foods Program to have improved communication with stakeholders. Hopefully an Office of Ombudsman will help spur that forward, Boder says. Here's today's He Said It. I want to win the IRA race. That Senator Henry Stern of Canoga Park, in a committee hearing on deploying federal infrastructure spending from the Inflation Reduction Act to advance the state's clean energy goals. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, August 31st. Brought to you by Rottle AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.